coast to coast. Entrepreneurs on the move, getting out of house. EOTM Radio, we're heard from coast to coast. Entrepreneurs on the move, giving you the most.
Station is the hottest, playing the best independent artists, and looking for more. So tune in and tell a friend about the hottest station on internet land.
Sit back and listen to EOTM on a mission. Classic City Records, ain't no competition. Pay attention to the grind, we're in it, the vision. Entrepreneurs on the move, success is not given.
EOTM Radio, we're heard from coast to coast. Entrepreneurs on the move, giving you the most. EOTM Radio, we're heard from coast to coast. Entrepreneurs on the move, giving you the most.
EOTM, that's the people station. Hottest station in the nation, no underestimating. Stop procrastinating and gon' hit them up. Giving you bang for your buck, get your numbers up.
Come on.
Stop sitting around whining, crying about making it, but ain't trying.
Classic
City Records, we tiring. Go to EOTM and start climbing.
EOTM Radio, giving you the most. EOTM Radio, giving you the most.
It went by pretty quickly, just perfectly fine with me. Well, tell them about your weekend.
My weekend was good. My girlfriend, Shawnee, and a good friend of mine, Maurice, are getting married in May, and I'm in a wedding. So we've been planning this bridal shower for her for a few months. I'm telling you, being in a wedding is a lot of work. It is a lot of work. They're both really good friends, and they deserve it. So she had a great time. We all had it was Saturday. And started at 5, and we all just stayed over there, you know, had to help her kind of straighten up after. But it was a really, really good time, and she said that exactly and more than what she pictured. So I was happy to hear it. But the girls did a great job as well.
Yeah, y'all all look beautiful. I saw
had great weather in Atlanta, so I was hoping to enjoy it this weekend.
Right, yeah. Well, you know, my birthday is Friday, and, you know, it's the first day of spring. I think we're starting to get that weather. We're starting to get the weather already because it was beautiful.
It was beautiful today as well, and I saw you barbecue on Sunday, and I'm still mad at you, so don't think we ain't got – We got beef. I saw people you posted wings and steaks, and oh yeah, we just had beef.
No, it was crazy because, you know, it was such a beautiful day yesterday, and then one of my friends was like, we should cook out of the grill. And I was like, that sounds good. And then I had two other friends call me, what you doing today? You know, I guess everybody was wanting to get out in the warm weather, beautiful weather. And so, yeah, we all put in and got some food and ate and a couple drinks and, you know, just had a good Sunday, good relaxing Sunday to start off this this week. You know, I know you celebrate your birthday the month of March. I celebrate mine for 7 days from Sunday to Sunday. So that's kind of like the impromptu first day kickoff.
Oh, kickoff. Okay, What do you have going on? Anything you want to share?
Nothing. Saturday, Thursday, I'm going to get some friends together, probably do a happy hour, and then this weekend I'm going to the mountains and casino in North Carolina, and I know you're going to be coming, which is awesome, and some of my friends. So I think we'll have a great time. It'll be totally different from Atlanta, obviously, but, you know, we enjoy that. So it'll be cool. I think it'll be cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I know you're getting up there on Friday, but Melanie and I are going to meet you there on Saturday, and I'm looking forward to it. The drive. I think the weather is going to be nice, and it's only 2 hours away. Perfect.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, they have really good food out there, you know, because they're not just down home people. Very, very good food. So, like, their Dairy Queen has.
I guess we'll be working out before I leave on Saturday.
Right, yeah. Their Dairy Queen has like faux food on the menu. It's crazy. It's crazy. Yes, yeah, I was so shocked when I went there. Yeah, so, but yeah, that was a good time.
I looked up restaurants in the casino, and they have, I knew they would because I worked for a high-risk property when I lived in Vegas.
Right.
They have a buffet, and the buffet, like, had raving reviews. I'm like, I cannot wait to get there.
Yeah, I've eaten in their buffet. Their buffet's so great. Shout out to Harris Casino. That's where we're going to be some of the time when we're out there. So, anyway, that's my birthday. You look forward to that. I'm getting a little bit older, but anyway, you know, Adam's in Australia having a blast. Chicken, what's going on with you?
I'm going to Australia, too, during it.
I am, too. How about you post those pictures?
Yeah.
I don't know if I told you guys, one of my girlfriends I grew up with, she's backpacking for about a year and a half. She may extend it to 2 years. And
about
so
a year.
She spent New Year's in Australia. She just went to New Zealand, I think. She left Australia.
Wow.
But anyway, backpacking for a year and a half, which I think is awesome. But yeah, she spent New Year's in Australia. She sent me pictures, or maybe she may be in Australia still. But she's like, it's still so super hot out there.
Is it?
I guess there's summer right now.
Wow.
Oh wow. Okay.
Well, looks like Adam's having a blast. So we're all jealous, but you know.
I want to go badly.
What's going on, Chicken? How was your weekend?
My weekend was pretty chill. I saw a couple of movies. Got to do some packing around the house because, you know, I'm packing to move.
Yeah.
Before I go into movie business, I just want to tell everyone I entered a contest. I'm in a contest.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
It's for the best beard. It's the best beard contest for beardoholics.com.
Hmm.
Please. Log on to Beardoholics, spelled B-E-A-R-D, letter O, H-O-L-I-C. Log on, find me. I'm the only absolutely Chike. please click on the picture and like it so I can help a brother out.
I wasn't trying to vote for her. I didn't even see you on here.
You have to go, like, when you go onto the main site, it says look at our 35 contestants. You click on that, and then it opens up another page, and just scroll down. I'm right there in the middle on the right side. Yeah, me.
I'll be sure to do that.
TK, did you post it on your Facebook page?
I did. And because it's a little confusing, because there's three different I can get three votes per person. And you can vote, like, every day you can vote if you really want me to win. Every day you can vote. But there is a Facebook section, there is a Twitter section, and then there is a Beardaholic section. Please, be generous and like all three, because I really, really want to win.
Yeah. And we'll post it on our Facebook page as well and on our website.
Thank you.
What do you win if you do win? What do you get?
I don't even know yet. I really don't. I don't know yet. They contacted me because, you know, on Instagram and Twitter, you know, with the hashtag thing, you know, I started growing my beard and I would put beard life or, you know, growing the beard or whatever the hashtag was. And they sought me out and they said, you know, you need to enter this contest. So I'm like, okay, sure. Yeah, why not? So
why
here
not?
I am. Now that I can almost taste the win. Right. Now that I can taste it. Yeah, I want it. Like, I want it now.
But you say you have competition, yeah, because some of those people have some really big and, like, really bearded up.
They do, but I checked the numbers, and I'm ahead, y'all.
You're ahead? Oh, wow.
I'm ahead. So just, yeah.
Okay, so hold on, TK. I want to make sure I'm doing this right. So I'm on here, and if I click the Facebook thing, is that voting, or do I have to put in my name and email and hit enter?
Well, no. If you're already if you log on another browser, if you're already on Facebook, what will happen is once you click on that, that link will open up on your page, and you can just say something like, I voted, and then it'll register.
No, it's not working that way. The link did open, and then it says Facebook, Twitter, and like, and it says 24. So how do I like it, and is that a vote?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
You gotta like it. Yeah, like it first. Yeah.
I'm like, where's the vote thing? The vote button. But I liked it. I hope it counts.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Thank you.
We'll post it on our Facebook page and our website so we can all vote for GK. Want him to win this thing.
And if I win, Beardaholics, if I win, we would like to have a representative of your company to come on the show and let's talk about that.
Absolutely.
You hear me?
Absolutely.
All right.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
All right. So, movies. I saw two movies this weekend. The first movie being Kingsman, which I thought was absolutely excellent. It stars Colin Firth and Samuel L. Jackson, and it's primarily like a training ground for James Bond. It's the Secret Service of the British government, and there is an agent who takes a young wanting to be agent under his wing and puts him basically through boot camp and the whole training regiment to become a Secret Service agent. I thought it was a top-notch movie. It had a little comedy in it. It definitely is action-packed and definitely the birth of a franchise. So if you're into action, you're into spies, you're into, you know, that whole James Bond-esque type of crime fighter, definitely go check out Kingsman. Definitely two thumbs up. The second movie that I saw was Disney's Cinderella, which is, you know, a remake of the original Cinderella. The movie was decent, definitely, you know, something for the family to go watch. But like I've been saying, my opinion, I am tired of the recycled stories.
Yeah. Yeah.
Disney has so much money. You mean to tell me you cannot create a new story? You can't hire new writers and producers to create new stories, new princesses, new princes, new kingdoms? I'm just saying. It was a good movie. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
There are creative people out there, especially like
very much so.
Films that, you know, they need that backing of that big dollar backing, you know what I mean?
Right. And what it is they're sticking with stories that they know work. Cinderella is a classic. It works. It's always going to work. They put a black Cinderella on Broadway. It's always going to work. No matter how you look at it, it's going to work. But I'm just saying, let's just do it for kicks and giggles. Try to create something new. That's all. Just saying. You have the money for it.
Right. Put the money up.
Right.
Put the money up.
Hey, invest in some of these indie artists.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's so great. Like, well, I know a lot of people, they love Netflix because they get to see a lot of these indie movies on there.
This is true.
Really good movies. Yeah. And so.
You know what? Speaking of Netflix, one of the biggest things that I love about Netflix are their original Netflix series or original Netflix movies. They are really, really showing out and coming out in the artistry when it comes to those things. Like, I've watched excellent projects on Netflix. So,
and they're winning awards.
Hooray to Netflix. They are.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Anything else, Chica?
No, that's the only two that I saw. I'm on the lookout for Get Hard with Kevin Hart and Will Ferrell.
Oh, yeah.
And that looks like it's going to be insane. Those two are complete nuts.
They are, yeah.
And go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And I think that I want to go see Chappie. It's been out for a minute. I've been hearing some things about it. I've been getting mixed messages, but I want to go see for myself.
I hear that. Well, when you do, let us know what you think. And I know you're going to stick around for Hot Topics, so back in a minute with you, okay?
All right.
Hey, Ron, what's going on?
Mi amigos.
How's it going?
Happy Monday, hey, Ron.
Happy Monday.
How was the weekend?
Bien.
Can you speak bad English, please?
You brushing up on your Spanish.
I'm brushing up on it. I'm telling you. Last semester, I got that D. So I'm trying to work it out.
All right.
Yeah. I know that. Work it out, CK. Work it out, Aaron. Sorry.
Right. It's all good.
Sorry.
No problem.
His name was on my mind.
It's all good. It's all love.
What you got for us?
Well, March Madness. It's here.
March Madness. Yes.
It is here. And already it's madness, it's drama. Yo.
Tell us all about it.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. First of all, Kentucky, that team is just, I'm not a Kentucky fan at all. But I give credit where credit is due. They are a damn good team. They are scary good. So they are my pick to go all the way. But there's some controversy with
the controversy with what now?
Dayton. The University of Dayton's basketball team. They're an 11 seed, but they're actually better than that. They should have been ranked higher, lower. Well, they should have been ranked, I feel, maybe 7th seed, 8th seed, but they're ranked in 11th seed, and they were actually the last team picked out of the entire tournament. They were the final team picked, which shouldn't have happened. Now, here is the drama that goes with that. They have to play a playing game, which is on Wednesday night. But guess where the playing
where? We lost you, Ron.
I said, guess where Dayton's playing their play-in game at?
Where is that?
On their home floor in Dayton.
Oh, no.
So there's some, so people are upset, first of all, at the fact that they're even ranked that high. Ranked that badly, like they should have been Second of all,
we keep losing you. You said they shouldn't be ranked that highly.
No. They should have a better seating. Like their seating's not indicative of the team's play this season.
Right.
If that makes
right.
any sense. Like they should be ranked better. And they should not be in a play-in game situation.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Needless to say, they are in a play-in situation, but they're playing in a play-in situation on their home court, which is
mm-hmm.
not fair. Like that's a no-no. In the NCAA tournament, you are not supposed to play a home game on your home court.
Yeah.
Not okay. Playing in your home city, one thing, but playing on your home court. That's not cool. So anyway, so Dayton is the home city of the first four, which is the NCAA tournament has the Final Four, which of course are the Final Four teams that play for the national championship. But there's also what is called the First Four, which are in essence the First Four is where Sprint. Yeah, Louise. All right, can you hear me now?
Yeah, we hear you.
All right. In essence, the first four is the first is the beginning of the tournament. It starts tomorrow and Wednesday night. It's in Dayton.
Okay.
It's in Dayton every year. It's in Dayton, and the winner of those first four games goes into the field of 64, and then it goes on from there all the way up to the Final Four. So, again, Dayton playing at home on their home court is kind of not fair, and they should have been ranked better anyway, so that they shouldn't be playing at home anyway. But all right, I got that out the way. Hawks still balling. Cleveland. Oh my gosh, Cleveland is amazing. Kyrie Irving, I saw the game last week where they played the Spurs. He had 57
mm-hmm.
points. Beast.
Wow.
Made I believe that he made 7 threes in a row. Like he was I think he was 7 for 7 or 9 for 9 or something like that. But he didn't miss 1 3-pointer. Amazing.
Wow.
57 points.
Wow.
Yeah, so Cleveland,
yeah.
Hawks. Watch out, Cleveland is on a roll right now. Cleveland has the second best record in the Eastern Conference. They are for real now. They are for real. So just had to say that. There's been a lot of trades going on in the NFL. One that really sticks out to me is Nada. I forgot. I don't know how to say his first name. Hoji Nada, guys, brother. I'm sorry for messing up his name. He was the he was on the defensive line for the Ravens.
Uh-huh.
All pro player, great player. Anyway, he's not with the uh-huh. Ravens anymore. He's actually with the Detroit Lions. So,
uh-huh.
and then Dominican Sue, who was with the Lions, is now with the Miami Dolphins, if I'm not mistaken. So there's a lot of mixing and matching going on in the NFL right now. And then one more thing, speaking of the NFL, Dancing with the Stars came on tonight, and your boy Michael Sam, was dancing. I haven't seen it yet. It's on my DVR, so I will be watching it later on tonight and see your brother can dance. And he still wants to come back. Like he wants to come back and try out again for the NFL. So hopefully this doesn't hamper that. You know, so we'll see. But the brothers got to eat, so dude has to make some money. So dance, brother, dance all the way to the title if you can.
Do your thing.
Do your thing. And yo, that's pretty much it with sports, man. Nothing else is really going on. You can again follow me Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, first name, last name. Again, first name dot last name. And pretty much it. Hello, John.
You want to stay on for hot? You want to stay for hot topics?
You know it, of course. Thank you, brother.
All right.
Right.
Ms. Parker, Chike, Aaron, you ready to tackle these hot topics? Ms. Generic out today.
But go to her website, budgettopperhall.com, to find her latest deals. Are y'all ready?
Ready.
Yep, ready.
All right. So the first one, you know, everyone's been raving over Empire. It exceeded ratings each week, and, you know, picked up for its second season after the second episode. Well, Lee Daniels has confirmed that Common and Oprah will appear in season two, and they're rumored that Taraji and Tyrese will come together. He'll be part of season two as well. What are your thoughts on Common, Oprah, and possibly Tyrese?
I love it all.
Yeah. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't.
What don't you like?
Oprah and Common, yes.
Why not?
Really?
Yeah. I've never been a fan of Tyrese. I'm not feeling him. Plus, he said some comments before about people and their lifestyles and things. So I have an issue with that. You're fine to say what you feel and have your opinion, but I'm also fine, you know, with not liking you for what you say. So yeah, I'm just not a fan of his. Never have been. So I pass with him. Yeah, not for him at all. But that's
okay. Yeah, Ms. Parker.
I really like Tyrese, and I think that him and Taraji have a good chemistry on and off screen. So, yeah, I think that he'll be a good addition to the team.
Yeah.
The cast.
Yeah. Okay. I think I love that Common and Oprah are gonna be there, and Tyrese. I have no problem with Tyrese. I think they playing off the whole baby boy thing, but to Aaron's point, I can see how, you know, one of the key issues they tackle on that show is about
exactly
the homosexual
right.
lifestyle. So being
and that's
going to
come up.
If
yeah.
he's offended people, I can see that.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yep.
But we'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. All right, now, Ms. Parker, you're going to love this next story. Mega church pastor Creflo Dollar.
I can't.
Has started a GoFundMe account to raise $6 million for a private jet to replace the old one that's 30 years old. Thoughts?
Can I go first?
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. What was the guy or what were the people back in the day that would just travel from like city to city like a minstrel? Like he's just a clown to me. This is sick. This is beyond sick. He is.
Yeah.
Next, somebody else. Just crazy.
Elizabeth Parker.
I have no words. I'm just so sick of these spiritual pimps. I can't. I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised by it. This is the same man that makes it mandatory for his congregation to give him 10%. He makes it mandatory. He won't do any service for him when I give him 10%. He has 5 to 6 ATM machines all over his church.
Wow.
The same person who they actually interviewed one of his congregation, a member of his church today on CNN. She takes the bus to his church twice a week, and so I'm assuming she'll give him $200 because that's her pastor. She loves him. I'm like, I'm so black folks, excuse me, are just too religious for me. They got too much their religion sometimes, and it's blinding.
Yeah, it's almost like they're brainwashed. It's
almost like a you
it's
taking
like
the bus.
Cold.
Yeah, you're taking the bus in the cold rain snow, and this man's talking about a jet. Well, he
right.
just having to get on the plane like the rest of us do, buy a
Hello?
Ticket. And fly wherever he needs to fly.
Thank you.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. TK, well, before I wait, thank you, TK.
If the Lord sees fit for him to get a jet, then he shall have it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see it coming.
Yeah. If the Lord sees fit, not if he got to get a dang on GoFundMe. Yeah. This, hold on, y'all, this is the same man that preaches that he can, you know, help you get money, but why can't he help himself get the $54 million if he can help other people supposed to get money? You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're supposed to be this prophet that can get people money, why can't you get your own money? Fluke, moving on.
I've always had problems with him just
and I didn't even know it was when I first saw some of his sermons, but all he talks about is prosperity. Now, the Bible does talk about prosperity, but they're not talking financial prosperity. They're talking about prosperity in your life, in different avenues of your life. Finances can be one of them, but when someone is always preaching about money, that turns me off. And also what turns me off is that, you know, if the poorest person in your congregation, they're saying pastor should not be that much higher than the poorest person in their congregation. A pastor's job is to help the congregation, help the community.
Right.
You know, and I'm not saying he doesn't donate. He does donate to his community. But in terms of, it just seems like it's always wealth, but they have their own recording studio. It's just a lot of things that I just do not, and I'm not judging him. I wouldn't go to his church. I've seen him. I've seen him in action. I'm preaching on several occasions, and it just turned me off. I think his last name speaks to who he is.
There you go. Dollar
bill. Dollar. Well, that's my thought for them. All right, so next topic. Fair or foul, rapper Kevin Gates posted a picture of his dead grandmother on Instagram. Apparently she had passed away, and her body, you know, she was sleeping, but she was dead. And, you know, they had her covered up, but her face was exposed. And he posted a picture, I guess, in tribute to her. And people are saying, was that going too far, or was that okay? What are your thoughts?
Kevin Gates is a unique individual anyway. Let's start off with that.
Right.
Isn't he the one that is having relations with the cousin?
Is he?
He's the hip hop guy who's having relations with his cousin. I don't know how far down the line the cousin is, but they are related.
Yeah.
Me personally, I have problems with any type of death pictures. I know people that go to funerals and snap pictures. I have an issue with that. Me personally. Yeah, I just think it's in poor taste, and you're a celebrity. Like, you have a following. He has, you know, people that actually look up to him and admire what he does as an artist. And, you know, that's the image that you're putting out.
Right.
I'm being foul.
Well, speaking of someone who's actually seen pictures of dead family members, my grandmother was one of those that they took pictures, but this was back in the day, like this. I've seen pictures of dead people like 20 years, you know, 20, 30 years ago. Back when I was a kid, she would show me pictures of like her great grandmother or something, you know, 50 years ago, sitting up to bed and going up on the casket. Scared me out as a child. But as an adult, I mean, it's nothing that I want to look at every day. But, I mean, it doesn't bother me personally seeing a dead person in a picture. If it's done tastefully, you know, if they're, you know, in a casket or covered up with, that's fine. But if they're just on some slab, on some table or something, then no, that would be a little creepy. But if it's tastefully done, I don't see nothing really wrong with it.
Ms. Parker?
I don't want to see any dead body on anybody's Facebook or social media page. Now, who are you guys talking about posting a picture? I missed that part.
Kevin Gates. He's a rapper, Kevin Gates.
Who did he post?
Who is he?
His grandmother. Now, he posted a picture of his dead grandmother. And he had his hand on her face, and he said something, you know, this is the woman, whatever, you know. It was a tribute to her, you know, but a lot of people kind of like.
I think people just go so far with what they post on social media now. It's like, when is enough is enough.
Right. I can speak for myself. I know when my mother passed away, a few days later, me and my brother had to go and do a viewing, even though she was cremated, you have to view the body as part of protocol. And we went, and I took a picture of it. I didn't, at first I wasn't going to, but then I took a picture of it. But I would never post that anywhere. Because just imagine you walking into Facebook or Instagram, whatever, and then you happen to be streaming through, and then you see this dead body. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, especially if you have such a huge following, like he probably has on social media, you never know people's state of mind, you know, or what they're going through. So I wouldn't have posted. I don't know.
I'm again, just me. I've seen pictures of dead people before, so it doesn't really bother me. But that's just me. But also, if it's tastefully done, like if the person is really bad looking, then of course not. But if they look like they're just asleep, if they look asleep, mm-hmm. maybe he wanted just to share this with his fans, like, you know, this is my grandmother. Mm-hmm. Rest in peace. Look how people mm-hmm. that looks. Maybe I don't know. I'm trying here.
All right. Well, my next subject. I know Michelle and I talked about this. Nick Gordon did an interview with Dr. Phil, and it aired last Wednesday. Ms. Parker, mm-hmm. you want to lead us on with your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I remember texting you because I was so disturbed by it. I didn't expect it to be that bad. I thought it was a sit-down interview and he may be emotional. I didn't know that it was an intervention. Like, I wasn't aware of that. So I think because mm-hmm. I wasn't aware of it, I was more shocked by it.
Yeah.
It was disturbing. It was disturbing. Mm-hmm. He's pretty much on the brink of, you know, being the next one to go. You know, I just feel like he's major help, and if he doesn't get it, it's you know, him and Barbie Christine grew up in the same situation, and I was a little disturbed that his mother is there now, but where was she when she gave her son to Whitney, knowing mm-hmm. that Whitney had substance abuse problem, you know, exactly. And I know you guys love her, but I'm not talking about her person, I'm talking about the issues that she suffered from.
Right.
Substance abuse problem, why would you give your child to somebody, celebrity or not, that is going through that? So I think him and Barbie Christine have a lot of emotional trauma that they went through, living in the home like that, living in a situation like that. And where was she then when he was growing up? You know, she's trying to get help for him now, and it may be a little bit too late.
Well, I was not expecting him
to be that bad.
Right. Yeah. Well, she did clear up in her defense, and I didn't know this either before I saw the interview. Early on in the interview, she stated that she put him out the house when he was 18 because he was being disrespectful and acting up. She put him out the house, and Whitney took him in. So it wasn't, you know, he was 18. It wasn't like he was a young kid that she pushed off. I still get your point. You know what I mean? But
on the Bobby Christine show, the reality show they have, she said her and Nick grew up together. She said Nick stayed at her house, and they met in the school, and they've been living together since middle school.
He's older than her. He's a few years older than her. So she said that they were always friends. This was the mom said. I'm not, you know, I know what you're talking about, Bob Cena, but she said that they were always friends, and they would, you know, have play dates and whatnot, but it wasn't until he was 18, 2009, when he moved in with Whitney after she put him out. Mm-hmm. That's what she said.
I hope he gets help because he's really bad.
I agree. He looks like I don't even think the interview should have been televised. I don't think it should have been done that way because he was out of it. He was completely out of it. Like, you know, I thought it was fake when I was seeing the previews, but when you saw the interview, you could tell he was just out of it. Like, he would go from high to low, you know, crying, then not crying. It was very hard to watch, and I felt really bad for him because you can tell he's in a lot of pain and he's self-medicating. And you can tell it's not looking good for him if he doesn't get it together. So hopefully, you know, Dr. Phil convinced him to go to rehab. Hopefully it will take and he'll be able to learn something for him and be a better man, you know. Guys.
No, I was just going to say, we saw the same interview. I cracked up laughing. I'm sorry, y'all. Y'all saw what y'all saw. I saw comedy. I saw fake. It was not sincere. I thought he came off as very.
Hey, the man was drunk.
I saw differently. I saw it wasn't sincere to me. It just came off as she was just trying to come off as being. Oh my God,
when you're out of it, that's how you act. Have you ever been around a drunk person? A person on drugs?
Oh yeah. I've seen them, but I just didn't.
A lot of people felt the same way you feel. And that's how I went into the interview, like watching the interview. Mm-hmm. But once I saw it, I felt like this was not fake, and I felt like that he needed severe help. But you know, a lot of people felt the same way you did.
This is why I don't think it was fake, because I don't think he will go out there faking that type of being that
you
much of a mess because he knows that now he's really not going to get to Barbie Christine. Like, his all goal is to be able to see her. And who wants to go on TV looking a mess? Obviously, now the family is really not going to let you see her. So I don't think that was intentional or fake because they're stopping him from seeing her. He hasn't seen her since the second day she was in there. And it's all because of his drug abuse, the way he comes to the hospital drunk and high and all those things. So I don't think he would jeopardize having the chance to ever see her again if she was to come to show up and put on an act.
Yeah.
I just don't see that.
Yeah, I agree. Chica, you want to weigh
in? I actually think that there's some mental illness going on there. Mm-hmm. And I think that
it could be.
That mixed with, you know, the abuse is the result of what you see. That's manifest. Wow. It was hard to watch. What was interesting to me is that he kept reverting back to his fame and how famous he is.
Yeah,
and, like, in the midst of all that, you kept talking about your own fame.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a little weird.
Comedy. Right.
And I do know that they are trying to build a case up against him because they're trying to say that he had something to do with her predicament. I don't know how that's going to play out, but I do believe that this interview was granted to circumvent that, to show you that there is clearly something wrong with him, not that he would maliciously try to hurt her.
Yeah, because Dr. Phil did say initially his attorneys did not want him to do the interview, but then they changed their mind because they wanted him to get clean. But real quick, before we go, our first guest here, question of the day is, and I want everyone to answer this, what was your very first job? What was yours, CK?
I was a recreational counselor for badass kids. Yeah.
How was that?
I was happy to have a job to be bringing a check in, but I wanted to murder those little kids every day. And when I say they range from like 6 to, I think the oldest was maybe like 13, 14. And keep in mind, I was only like 15 myself.
Right. Wow.
But yeah, that was my first
job.
Who
was your
YMCA.
Oh, YMCA. Who was your oldest partner?
What was the question?
What was your very first job?
Oh, my very first job, I'm sorry. My very, very first job, I think, was at A&W Root Beer.
Yeah, you told me that.
I think that was my first job. A&W, my very first job.
How was your experience?
It was interesting. It was a new one opening in Vegas. I think it was the first one that came to Vegas. And it opened up right by my house, so it was like walking distance. It was perfect. But the manager used to teach us how to steal from the ATM machine, from the cash register, and we wouldn't do it. I remember a coworker, a high school student, we would take food home. She'll give us like bags of chicken fingers or whatever.
Yeah.
But I refused to steal money because I was like, I don't want to go to jail.
Right,
but I remember one of my classmates was in class, and he said, hey, don't you work at A&W? And I was like, yeah. He said, I saw your manager stealing the money at the cash register. I said, how did you see that? He said, because she took my order, and she never put the money in the cash register. When I was pulling it out, she put it in her pocket. I was cracking up.
Wow.
She would memorize how much this stuff costs with tax, and then she would just take the money and not put it in the register. Yeah, so he was the one who told us how she was actually doing it. Yeah, so it was funny. But it was good. I was 14. I think I was just legal to start working. I was stealing work. Hours at a time, 3 to 4 hours.
That's good.
What was yours, A-Ron?
I was your typical newspaper boy. I delivered newspapers, you know, the all-American job. I wanted it so bad. The newspaper company, at 13 years old, I called them. I was surprised that they actually hired me, and I had to roll up papers, put them in the newspaper sack, and I had my bike, and I was tossing papers to, you know, to the neighbors. Yeah, it was really cool.
Wow.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
My first job was at Taco Bell
and I started off as a crew member, and I became a crew trainer, and they were all getting paid more than me because minimum wage went up, and they wouldn't give me a raise. But anyway, go to Facebook and tweet us what your very first job was, Stephen Knight Show, SHO Twitter, and then the Stephen Knight Show from Facebook. We're right back after this with DM Ladislaw.
You're listening to the Stephen Knight Talk Show on EOTM Radio. You're listening now. You're listening to the Stephen Knight Talk Show on EOTM Radio. The Stephen Knight Show, Monday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on EOTMRadio.com.
The Washington, D.C.-based novel entitled Priceless can be viewed as an urban story similar to the hit television series Scandal. The characters undergo several life-changing events while facing negative and positive consequences. The characters are involved in issues such as drug distribution, prostitution, substance abuse, HIV, religion, war, homosexuality, redemption, and deliverance within the urban neighborhoods of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Priceless is edgy and controversial, an appropriate tool for guiding young African-American men and women in our society. Please help me welcome the author, DM Ladislaw. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for being on. So listen, tell our listeners a little bit about your background. I know you're from the D.C. area, is that correct?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yeah,
so tell us about your background.
I'm from D.C., born and raised in this area. A lot of people, when they hear the last name Ladislaw, that are, I want to say maybe 26, no, I'll say 28 and up, they'll think of my cousin, Auntie Ladislaw. She was out in the late 80s. Well, she started in the 70s and went throughout the 80s and toured around the world and everything. But that's her, you know, piece in entertainment, but I'm the author.
You're the author, right, yeah.
Yeah. And basically, my story is touching a lot of people in this area and beyond. So I'm really, really blessed in that aspect to speak to people who go through several different things and they identify with what I wrote. I have people that tell me that I basically told their stories and I don't even know them. I get fan mail all the time. So I'm really, really blessed. Yep.
Well, you in your book, Priceless, you hit on a lot of topics like drug distribution, prostitution, substance abuse, HIV, religion, war, homosexuality, redemption, and it goes on. What made you want to touch on those points specifically?
Well, I saw it every day. When I was growing up, single parenting is another issue, another topic.
Yeah.
In the book. I talk about that because I was raised by my mom and my great-grandmother. My father was not there. And we lived in different areas, what they quote-unquote call urban, I want to say ghetto. I really don't like to call them ghetto, but, yeah, we lived in those types of urban neighborhoods in D.C. And that was what, you know, I pretty much experienced a lot of those topics. I saw it every day. So it inspired me to just write about those things that I experienced, that I witnessed, and also other people that I knew that confided in me certain things, and I wrote their stories as well. And the way I did it was, like, the first three chapters are mainly about how I came about, you know, me being conceived, my biological father and my mother and that whole thing that happened during the 80s. And then I veer off into, after chapter three, chapter four, I veer off into other, you know, other people's lives. And I basically combined three people. So three people that I knew and their situation is one character. So it's like one character is going through a whole lot of stuff, basically.
Right, yeah. Well, a lot of, because people are so multifaceted. So it's like you can be different characters than yourself, I guess, you know. Tell us about one of the main characters in the novel.
Okay, well, there's, and it's pretty, it's kind of like weird because it's a whole, it's like three different main characters, and everybody says, oh, it's so many characters, but when you read the whole entire novel, it's like, wow, it all ties in together. It's like they all know each other, but the main character, it starts off with Joy. She's like the main, the queen of the book, and she is basically one of those. And it starts off in the 80s. It spans off for 30 years, so 80s, 90s, and 2000s. So in, like, the mid-80s, she's, like, one of the girls that, like, likes to go out and party and wear, like, the designer clothing, the Chanel and all of the top designers back then. And she's always dealing with, like, an elite guy in the city of D.C. So it's maybe a hustler, it may be a politician, whoever. But this one guy named Sean comes in to play and basically steals her heart, and they conceive a daughter named Sasha. And once they conceive that daughter, all hell breaks loose, basically, and it just gets really, really ugly. She loses everything. She loses one of her best friends, and she's fighting him. So from that point on, she kind of, like, guides her daughter in the right direction, and then her daughter grows up, and she becomes one of, like, the main characters as well. Sasha is, like, all the girls want to be Sasha for some reason that read my story. So she's, like, one of the main characters, and then it veers off into her friend who comes out to her that he's gay, and this is in high school, and she kind of has a crush on him. And it talks about him and his struggle with sexuality. Does he want to do it? Does he not want to do it? He's a God friend guy. He's into, you know, the spiritual religion, and his family shuns the whole concept of homosexuality. So I talk about that. And also, we have other characters who are like the prostitutes in the story. And then I have a couple hustlers in the story. So I basically told, I have all walks of life in my story, so anybody can pick it up and kind of read it and kind of identify with at least one character.
And do you feel like that this book was like a depiction of Washington, D.C. through your eyes, of what you kind of experienced living there and growing up there?
Yes, and I wanted to do something that I wanted to write something that, because it's so many books out there, but there's not a book that D.C. really has that's a classic. You know, Philly has True to the Game by Terry Woods. Baltimore has Be More Careful by Shannon Holmes. You know, there's different Sister Soldier Road, Coldest Winter Ever. That was New York. But D.C., you really don't have a book for D.C., and most people compare. And I say there's no comparison because those are classics. But my fans, they're like, man, this is something similar to those books, and we finally have something that really showcases D.C. And I wanted to write something that, you know, the street side to Scandal, because Scandal is a politics, you know, that's not the real D.C., you know?
Right.
Yeah.
So what has been the response from D.C. natives that have read this book? What has been the response to you?
They absolutely love it. I think I get the most support from the African-American women, because the women have read my book, and they really love the story. Guys do, too. I have reviews. It's rated 5 stars on Amazon right now. And I have guys that have reviewed it. I have girls that review it. But mostly the women review it, and they love it because they can actually read the book because they're from here. I name streets. I name, like, streets or whatever, like, neighborhoods.
So it's real. Yeah.
It's real. Like, you know, it's based off of true events. I did embellish on certain things to kind of capture this generation because basically, you know, the 80s, 90s, a 15-year-old, they were just born in 2000. So they have no idea of how it was in the 90s or the 80s.
Exactly. Yeah,
so I wanted to give them and show them something, and well, they can read about how things were back then and how it's really no different. What you guys are doing now, we've been doing it. It's just now it's a little more exposed. It's a little more comfortable. People are more comfortable, but it's been like that for years. So Yeah, but they receive it and they love it because it's so real. It is.
So what's next for you after the, you know, this novel has been incredibly successful? You write any more?
Yeah. Right now, I want to make something clear about the first one. I wrote it at 20 years old, so I'm I'm 29 now. So
okay.
I wrote the whole thing at 20.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's from a 20. It's kind of from a 20-year-old's perspective. I wrote up until the ninth chapter at 20, and then I shelved it for 8 years. So
wow.
I shelved it.
What made you decide to go ahead and release it?
I felt as though that I had so many life-changing events within myself, and I also felt like it wasn't time. You know, I felt like some of the topics that I discussed back then at 20 years old, you really couldn't like go in on certain things and actually expose certain things and actually be accepted. But now you have things, and when we watch TV shows now, we see everything on Empire. You see certain things that you wouldn't have saw 9-8 years ago on television.
Right.
Or Scandal the same way, or Mary Jane being Mary Jane. So, and it was the right time at that point to go ahead and release it. But, yeah, I wrote that at 20, and I feel like I've grown as a man. I've grown spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I wrote this past year, I wrote in 2014, I finished my next book, which is called Lessons from a Sinner, Volume 1. And I finished that. It's going to come out this summer. And then I'm also writing part 2, because everyone wants part 2 of Priceless, but I don't want to release it. I don't want to release it too quickly. I want to wait and have anticipation. Yeah.
Wow. That's great. That's great work. Tell everyone they can connect with you on social media and keep up with your career.
Yep, I'm on Instagram. You can follow me, The Real DM Lattisol, at The Real DM Lattisol. I'm on Twitter, DM Lattisol, and also Facebook. You can just like my fan page, DM Lattisol. And you can buy Priceless. It's everywhere. Barnes & Noble, BAM, which is Books A Million. It's on Amazon, Kindle, iTunes, iBooks, Amazon, CreateSpace, all of that. It's on almost every media channel that you want to buy a book, so you can just go ahead and get it.
Well, listen, we thank you so much for joining us tonight, and wish you all the success with success with this book as well as your next. So keep doing what you're doing, and appreciate you. Okay.
I appreciate this. Thank you very much.
All right, you have a good one.
You too. Bye bye.
All right. And for more information about DM Lattisol and Priceless, please visit our Facebook page, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Steve and Knight Talk Show on EOTM Radio. You're listening now. You're listening to The Steve and Knight Talk Show on EOTM Radio.
The Steve and Knight Show, Monday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on EOTMRadio.com.
Matt Cole is a director and filmmaker who is born and raised in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. His passion for directing is fueled by his love of telestory, cinematography, and cinema. He credits his artist membership at Pittsburgh Filmmakers and his relentless desire to tell compelling stories for inspiring his work. This year he's released Silenced and The Code. Please help me welcome Max Cole. Welcome to the show.
Hey. It is a pleasure to have an opportunity to be here. What a great show you guys do.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I really appreciate it, Mr. Knight, Mr. Evans, Ms. Parker, Mr. Cosby. It's just an honor to have an opportunity to be on this show with so many talented people. Fantastic.
Well, we're honored to have you on. You know, your work speaks for itself. Tell us a little bit about how you got into, you know, directing and filmmaking, and, you know, what kind of led you to where you are today.
Woo-wee, that's a handful. But you know what? I love telling stories, and I think it starts right there. You know, I grew up, I'm a Pittsburgh guy, you know, very blue-collar town. I grew up with a family that was absolutely against, I think, everything that I wanted to do because they didn't see it as a possibility. You know, they
right.
really didn't see
yeah.
it as a possibility. You know, I come from a family of educators. They were more like into the traditional thing. So like I'm the oddball of the family. That's for sure. You know, I've just really having a desire to do it. Started off in, you know, a lot of traditional fields, very big time technology person. I was in medicine for a while, all with this goal of just wanting to come out here to really be a storyteller, to make a difference. Absolutely love cinema. I mean, been watching a lot of films. I think every filmmaker says that you have to watch films and appreciate them. But I would really study the directors, really study those director's cuts. And I love interviews and hearing how, the process was done of storytelling and all the little fine details that go into actually making a film. Because it's a complicated machine. It's not something that's ended up doing, what a lot of people do, coming out to Los Angeles with a lot of goals in mind, just staying focused, staying out of trouble and really concentrating on it. And, I started off in music videos for a while, had a good opportunity to really shadow a lot of people and work on a lot of sets and transition from music videos, which I absolutely enjoy doing, working with artists, but a lot of independent artists. But it's a difficult a difficult game to get into because, a lot of people are bidding on jobs and a lot of people now are just picking up cameras and shooting music videos and the budgets are changing. So it's been always a challenge, but I always enjoyed that process. But, really wanted to be, I was finding the music videos were getting out of storytelling and I love storytelling. Transitioned to the film was really licking my chops to really get into just telling stories, being able to control the content, being able to go through that process and, just create stories that hopefully resonate with people. So it's been a long journey. That was the Cliff Notes short version of it, but, I feel fortunate.
So what would you say your style is for directing? What's your directing style? They say all directors have their own style, how they work with the cast and their actors and their crew. What's your style?
That's an interesting question. I think my style is certainly a cinematic storyteller. I like the honesty that you can capture on camera. So I'm very compelled to actors that are very strong method actors that really grasp their character. And I like to tell stories that have flawed characters. So I would say, I'm very honest storyteller. I think a bold would be a way to describe it too, as well. And a little bit politically incorrect, because I think with cinema, you really do have to be honest and kind of put yourself out there because it's a vulnerable place to be in. So I don't know if I have a style that I would like to label myself. I think I'd like to stay universal, remain universal with my, storytelling approach. But I would say that I'm a very honest storyteller and, I love cinematography. I think film is beautiful. It's a great place to really craft images that, that speak for themselves. So I like to leave it all on the screen. That's what I would say I am. I'm somebody who just loves to leave it all on the screen.
And you, an award-winning director and filmmaker. How does it feel to receive awards from your peers? Kind of as a pat on the back saying, yeah, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. How does that feel for you?
It's interesting. I think they're great. I think I'm so focused often on the next project or what I'm currently working on that it's hard to take time to reflect with that. And also awards I feel are, and this may surprise me, but I think they're somewhat subjective because, with film festivals, they're looking for certain material, the program directors have certain material that may resonate with that individual, which will often lead to awards. So I try not to get caught up with that. I really want to focus on just telling stories. And if they resonate with people and they're fortunate enough to win awards or whatnot, that's great. But, for me, it's about, just telling good, honest stories and leaving the rest up to the universe. And, awards are great because I think they give you an opportunity to get feedback, you know, that something's resonated with somebody. But you know, in the same sense, it's like there's so many good films out there that it's you know, you really, I personally just don't like getting caught up in that whole awards game, because it's so subjective. It's an honor, but you know, I don't do it for the awards. I do it for telling stories that resonate with people, and just working with the actors, and you know, it's their award too, because they help make it come to, you know, the crew, actors, everybody really helps. It's a big process. So I think sometimes awards are limiting, you know, they're limiting. There's so many all-stars that go into film production. So I'm a little bit passionate about this stuff.
I get that. Well, you should be. You should be. Well, this year,
it's great.
Silence and The Code. Tell us about those projects.
No, actually, in the last year, it was Alone at Midnight and Black Love, two of the projects that are circulating in the festivals now. The Code and Silence. Now, Silence is a film that I just wrapped with Chelsea Anna Martin and Kaylee Cook, which I cannot wait to share. It's a story that's about a traumatizing event that two girls, really one girl, experiences, but they're friends, and I think it's an emotional piece, and those actresses are fantastic. So that's something that I'm licking my chops to release very soon.
Okay.
Putting the final touches on the edit.
Okay.
The Code is a film that I'm going to be shooting soon. Actually, I was going to shoot it next week, but there's been so many things that have been changing from a scheduling standpoint.
I can imagine.
And we're looking to shoot that very, very soon. I look a great, great cast for that. I'm looking forward to working with the people. I have Sean, Alexa, her sister, Nicolette. I'm sorry, I call her Nicole, but Nicolette. There's some fantastic actors and actresses that'll be a part of that film, and I really can't wait to tell it, because it's a bit of a sci-fi mystery. Now, Alone at Midnight with Dakia and Cyan. Is a film that was very important to me. It was about, I don't hate to give it away, but let's just say there's a date that happens and there's a big twist at the end. It deals with abduction. It was an important story. Black Love, which I literally just found out got accepted into the Oakland International Film Festival, so I'm thrilled about that too as well.
Oh, that's awesome.
Very, very important film about George Jackson and Angela Davis, and myself and the co-writer Makita Hardy, we wanted to create a film that really paid tribute to the Black Panthers, also the social injustice and things that they had to deal with, because people forget that these are people like me and you, and they had stories that weren't told. And, there was a lot of difficult decisions during that time that we kind of took a snapshot of. If they were in college together, what would things be like? What decisions would they be faced with? And, the film kind of takes us through that journey.
Wow.
And just trying to do things that resonate with people. Keep it honest.
Yeah. Well, tell everyone where they can keep up with you and learn about, The Code and Silence that are coming out, and then Black Love and Alone at Midnight, which are already out and are doing their thing. Where can people keep up with you and learn more?
My website is a great place, maxcolefilms.com. Also, Twitter, under maxcolefilms, all one word. And I use Instagram from time to time, not very much, but I do use Instagram from time to time. I think Twitter and my website are the best places too. And people need to reach out more. I want to say this. Actors really need to start reaching out. The best thing, the way you can get cast, you can go to 1,000 auditions. But I was talking to an actor about this today. Reach out to directors. We are looking for people that are serious, that are focused, that share the same energy and enthusiasm, and just say, hey, I really want to work with you. You would be surprised how many people literally don't use social media or don't take the time out to email someone directly and say, hey, I really want to work with you. If you do that with me, you will definitely be on my list of high priority people to work with. There are times where I'll even create films that have that person in mind.
So I think it's really, really important to not be lazy, get out there, use social media, and network with people the right way. Say, I want to be in your project, and stay on it. Don't just, I want this project. Because, you know, we've got a variety of different things that we've already have people in mind for. Stay on it. Stay on it. Because the opportunities are there. Absolutely, absolutely. Very, very good stuff.
Thank you so much for joining us. You've been a great guest, and all success to you for, the movies you already have out and for the upcoming that we can hopefully expect later on this year. So thanks again for your time.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you all. I appreciate it.
All right. You have a good one.
You too. Be blessed.
To you too. Thank you. And for more information about Max Cole and his movies, please visit our Facebook page. There's a link to his website. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to the Steve and Knight Talk Show on EOTM Radio.
You're listening now.
You're listening to the Steve and Knight Talk Show on EOTM Radio.
The Steve and Knight Show, Monday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on EOTMRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Steve and Knight Show. Now it's time to go on to Steven's playlist. Each week we receive music from people all over the country when we featured during this segment, and we select artists to play. Tonight, our playlist features songs from both independent and major artists, including Authentic, I'll See, and many more. If you're interested in being featured on Steven's playlist, email us at submissions@thestevenknightshow.com. Attach one or two songs, your bio, and one or two promotional pictures. Remember, all songs must be edited for radio, meaning no cursing, and we definitely look forward to hearing your work. The first song is by Tamar Braxton featuring Future, entitled Let Me Know. Check it out and enjoy Steven's playlist.
Oh, break of dawn, babe. A diva really does need her sleep. I'm brave, I'm bold, but first I need my TV. A little bit of news, a couple of cartoons, yes please. Check Instagram and all the Twitter postings. I wonder what the world thinks of me. I'm
you, baby. This is for the A. Shawty, I don't mind if you dance on a pole. That'll make you a shawty. I don't mind when you work until three. If you're leaving with me, gon' make that money, money, money. Your money, money, money. Cause I know how it is. Gon' handle your biz and get that money, money, money. Your money, money, money. You can take off your clothes long as you're coming home, girl. I don't mind. The ballers in here tonight, they gon' buy 100 bottles. As soon as you shake it, I know they gon' make it colossal in here. Cause shawty, you thinkin' them tricks that you do with your body. Got all of these crowding around you like they think Beyonce in here. You want your own and you need your own, baby. Who am I to judge? How could I ever trip about it when I met you in the club? I make enough for the both of us, but you dance anyway. You know I was raised in the A, shawty, I don't mind if you dance on a pole. That'll make you a shawty. I don't mind when you work until three. If you're leaving with me, gon' make that money, money, money. Your money, money, money. Cause I know how it is. Gon' handle your biz and get that money, money, money. Your money, money, money. You can take off your clothes long as you coming home, girl, I don't mind.
No, I don't.
When you get off of work, I'll be ready to go in the Rari. And when we get home, we'll have us our own private party, you know. So I don't worry at all about the things they do or say. I love you anyway. You can twerk while in the split. You racking up them tips. Your body rocking, your booty popping. I'm proud to call you my b. They be looking, but they can't touch you, shawty. I'm the only one to get it. So just go ahead, keep doing what you're doing. Shawty, I don't mind if you dance on a pole. That'll make you a shawty. I don't mind when you work until three. If you're leaving with me, gonna make that money, money, money. Your money, money, money. Cause I know how it is. Gonna handle your biz and make that money, money, money. Your money, money, money. You can take off your clothes.
Let's get it.
As long as you coming home.
What, Juicy J? I'm just trying to cut her up, trying to bust a nut. Trying to take somebody, trying to two up. Trying to fill my cup, trying to live it up. Put some hundreds on that, got out the club. Yeah. Lap dance for the first date. Better throw a few bands, that's third base. It's okay if you work late. We can still party like it's your birthday. We can still party hard in your birthday suit. Knock the f*** out the park like my name Beirut. Shawty, she just wanna dip, I just wanna see a strip. If you f*** like you love me, shawty, you might get rich. Have her own cake, her own place. Blow her own gas, no Rolex. When we in the bed, she like the tell a friend to join in both ways.
Shawty, I don't mind if you dance on a pole. Don't make you a I don't mind when you work until three. If you leave with me, cause I know you gotta make that money, money, money. Oh. Your money, money, money. Cause I know how it is. Girl, go and do your biz. Make that money, money, money. You can take off your clothes long as you coming home, girl. I don't mind.
Well, that's our show. I want to thank our special guest, DM Ladisall. Make sure you check out his book, Priceless, based on true events. And also Max Cole. Go to his website to find out all about his films. He has some great films and stories that need to be told, as well as DM Ladisall with his book all about D.C., and, you know, I'm from Virginia. My mother is from D.C., and I have a lot of family that's from there. So I'm definitely interested in reading that book so I can hear more about the culture. But I want to thank you all for joining us tonight. Until next week, be blessed. Have a great one. And good night.
You came here to party, go on, put your hands up. If you want to get it started, go on, put your hands up. All my ladies in the front, all my thugs in the club. If you're looking for some Thugs in the club, you looking for some love, go on, put your hands.